The year is 2030. The world has changed. The past decade has been marked by extraordinary progress, innovation and change. Politics, business, jobs and society are barely recognizable. In many ways, the world is a better place. In lots of others, it isn't. Retail and shopping has undergone a revolution. You may not foresee this in the year you are listening. In these audio recordings that we have delivered to the British Retail Consortium, we will report back from the year 2030 to help warn, inform and light the way to the future. Good luck on the journey you have ahead. See you soon.
I'm Andrew Busby, the founder of Retail Reflections and the year 2030. So Retail Reflections has been we're entering our 14th year, which is quite amazing. And we've seen so many changes over the last 10 years. And to look at shopping and what shopping looks like now, it's quite different to back in 2019. But of course, what I should say, first of all, before going any further, is that we are actually, today marks the 11th anniversary of when we should have left the EU. And of course, it's quite interesting because later this week, Theresa May is bringing back her withdrawal agreement for the 150th time. The Commons are also hoping to see any changes, but it'll probably be, we think, exactly the same as the previous 149. There'll be no changes whatsoever.
Andrew, your so-called humour won't help them navigate the future. Time is short.
Well, we saw the global financial crisis of 2026, and we're still recovering a little bit from that. But what we've seen from a shopping point of view is it's even more so now. In 2030, it's very much a global economy. The big Chinese e-commerce giants have completely global, and there's only two or three really global players that we now shop with, and it's kind of either that or walking down the high street, and there it is changed as well, because there's even more of a polarization between commodity shopping and discretionary or luxury. So we don't tend to go to the shops for commodity at all. Our groceries are delivered to our personal boxes, which we have outside our front doors. I mean, that's kind of the norm now, and that caters for anything from chill to fresh and so on and so forth. So we don't have to be in. Just can't imagine that back in 2019 there were actually trials of people going in and actually delivery guys going in to your homes and putting the produce away for you. I mean, that seems quite ridiculous now. So it's ultra convenience and it's ultra personalized. So every single retailer that I care to shop with knows me intimately. They know everything about me and they predict my needs and wants. So I don't really have to think about whether I need to purchase more toothpaste or whether I need more tennis balls or golf balls because I'm playing at the weekend, because that's all done for me and delivered to my club, because they know where I belong. And that's just how it is. And it seems that back in 2019, it was incredibly archaic. So, it's much easier, much more convenient, much more personalized.
They have no idea what high streets are like. They are still in a time of innocence.
When you walk out onto the high streets and you look at the high streets now, one thing that is, has been very encouraging, I think it must be since 2019, we're now on our 25th High Streets Minister. However, we're finally seeing the eradication of business rates, which is fantastic news. That's being replaced by a shopping tax, which we all have to pay. That's replaced VAT. And that's creating finally that level playing field that we've all been wanting over the last 10 years. So that's just coming in now. And over the next few years, we're expecting to see a real change there, which is going to help the high street shops, because we've seen so many that have come and gone over the last 10 years. And it's sad. It's always sad. But at the same time, there are still the same number of jobs. Retail still employs over 3 million people. And there are some fantastic new jobs. And it's really now being seen as a viable career opportunity for people, which is great. You go now and you talk to a school leaver or a postgraduate, and one of their first choices, yeah, they want to get into retail because they want to be a data scientist, and they want to work with 7G, the new network that's just been rolled out at the moment, and augmented intelligence, which 5.0, which knows everything about you before you even know it yourself. So there have been some great changes, and high streets themselves have become, as we kind of thought way back in 2019, we did think, we were saying then, I remember, that they were going to become more social spaces. And what we've seen now is that far more town centres are completely pedestrianised. Of course, we've got electric cars now. Petrol, if you want to go into central London in your petrol car now, it'll cost you £50. So we're seeing electric cars, but even those are banned from most town centres to preserve the high street, which again has taken a long time, but it's a great thing and it's regenerating a lot of them.
There have been huge lessons that had to be learned along the way, haven't there, Andrew?
So what have we learned over the last 10 years? Well, as I said earlier, retail is still one of the largest, if not the largest, employer. And that shows no sign of changing. A lot of jobs have been automated. And I think if I was speaking to somebody in 2019, I would say keep an open mind. There is going to be a lot of automation coming, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You just need to be prepared to reskill, retrain, and all those mundane tasks for store associates, like stacking shelves and so forth, that's all going to be automated. So you can look forward to that, and you can look forward to having far more of an interesting time and engaging with the customers rather than shelf stacking and so forth. There was, back in 2019, there was a lot of talk about automation and drones. And speaking from 2030, I can tell you that drones never really took off. It was something, there was a little bit of a fad. It looked great at the time. There were a number of people who were pursuing that. But as I remember just about from 2019, 2018, whenever it was a long time ago now, but certainly all those drones at Gatwick Airport, that kind of killed it off in many ways. We didn't quite realise it at the time. So that was never really going to happen, but we certainly see around the streets of the major cities and the campus sites, we see autonomous delivery. So in terms of lessons, then it was always said back in 2019 that technology, retailers need to become technology companies. That's absolutely the case, and the place, if you like, of a retailer, the place in society, and the role a retailer plays over the last 10 or 11 years has changed quite dramatically. They become far more media companies, and they've also had to reinvent themselves in the face of the direct-to-consumer model, where far more manufacturers go direct. It's now, in 2030, it's over 50% are direct to consumer. So a retailer has had to change, and sadly, quite a few have dropped by the wayside. But it means that the stronger, those who are able to adapt, if you like, have survived. And the ones who have adapted have been the ones who have realized that they need to become technology companies, they need to become data-driven companies, they need to become media entities, and they need to change their organizational structures. Back in 2019, there were still far too many which were very, very much command and control and hierarchical and siloed and vertically organized, and all those old KPIs which we kind of tend to laugh at now, like sales per square foot and sales per employee, well, they went out many years ago, and they're replaced by things like how is my customer feeling. So it's been quite a transformation in retail from that respect.
The word surprise means the feeling caused by something unexpected or unusual. People have felt that many times. They don't know yet.
So we've seen a number of, I guess, surprises. And one of the things from 11 years ago was that we all thought that voice was really going to take off, and voice was going to control everything. That still hasn't really been universally adopted. Even by now the Generation Alpha, who of course now are in their mid to late 20s, they still haven't really adopted that, because of course we've had new technologies coming along, such as Think and Shop. And I'll come back to that in a moment, because that's quite an exciting new technology that people are really taking to. The other interesting thing and surprise for me has been this real, I mentioned Generation Alpha, and this real backlash against social media and data privacy. So on the one hand, we've had, over the last 10 years, we've had retailers who have been desperate to get more and more of our own personal data. But the younger generations in particular have kind of they've been leaving social media for a number of reasons, but primarily because of concerns around data privacy, and they really hold their privacy very, very dear to themselves. So there's quite an interesting kind of tug of war going on there between retailers and brands and the younger generations coming along after Generation Alpha. Who of course now we're into second and coming on to third generation digital natives. So that makes a huge difference to how people go shopping.
The fourth industrial revolution, or the second machine age, has changed the way we live, work and relate to one another. It is a new chapter in human development, enabled by extraordinary technology advances. Andrew, give some insight on our 2030 world.
I mentioned Think and Shop, and perhaps it's just as well to briefly explain that, as some of the, because technology can kind of be a little bit ephemeral. It can come and go. The one, of course, that has remained is, as it's called now, it used to be back in 2019, it used to be called artificial intelligence, but of course artificial didn't suit it, so it became known as augmented intelligence, and that AI 5.0, as it's now known, is an incredibly exciting technology, and I'm not sure if I know any retailer who isn't using it to not only drive the back office, but particularly the front office and the front line personalization, and really engaging on a one-to-one level with their customers. So now we expect that. We expect that one-to-one engagement. That's quite a normal thing. But going back to Think and Shop, we don't tend to, back in 2019, we all had our smartphones, and the iPhone X had come out, and the Samsung 10, of course, they're now consigned to practically as museum pieces, and we don't tend to use them because we don't need to, because we think, because certainly a large percentage now of people just have something, an implant, very similar to an RF, what we used to know as an RFID tag. And we just think of what we want to buy, and that interprets the brain waves, and that's then ordered and delivered to our homes. So, you know, we can think of, okay, I need more milk, or I need a new shirt or a new pair of trainers, and it knows our particular size and our preferred color and brand, and we just need to think, and it gets delivered. Of course, it means we do have to control our thought waves a bit more than we used to have to, but so it does make for some quite interesting deliveries sometimes after you've had a few glasses of wine in the evening. But yeah, we can put up with that because it's so easy and convenient.
Some have thrived, some have fallen by the wayside. Broadly, what should retailers have done differently?
If I could go back, which, to be honest, I wouldn't really want to because life's so much easier and more exciting now. But if I could go back, what should retailers have done differently? Well, I've already mentioned AI, and back in 2019, there was still a fairly slow uptake in usage of AI. And it led to quite a number of well-known brands going out of business because consumer expectation just was so far ahead, exceeded what those people could deliver. And all the signs were there. And it's quite interesting now looking back. Obviously, the benefit of hindsight is great. But looking back, all the signs and the evidence was there that they really should be using that that technology. The sort of, if I can remember back, the sort of personalization that we used to have 11 years ago just seems ridiculous now, when we think of doing a search and maybe buying a new 50-inch widescreen TV, and then for a week after we're getting pop-up ads for a 50-inch widescreen TV, and you think, well, what, you know, what's that all about? We just don't see that anymore because, of course, you know, our lifestyles and our habits and our needs and wants are known and predicted. So that would certainly be one thing that I think the retailers could learn far better. And the other thing that they should have done is really this. Now, in 2019, we were talking a lot about retail reinvented, reimagined, and so on and so forth. But it just seemed that those sort of legacy retailers at that time were slow to realize that they had to change and the world was changing around them. And I think they thought that if they did things harder and worked harder, they could carry on doing the same things they'd done for decades previously. But of course, we know now, 11 years later, that just didn't work because consumers had moved on. So it was sad that we saw a lot of well-known and loved brands disappear, but a lot of new ones have sprung up, which is exciting. So all in all, I think can kind of look back with a certain degree of fondness at 2019, but if we'd known then what we know now, then I'm sure we'd have done things a lot differently.
Andrew, your transmission to history is now up. Thank you for listening. We will transmit more messages from 2030 to the British Retail Consortium soon. Power shutting down.